Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Ransom-Bello.
For within the period of 30 minutes or less, let's title this, How to Serve in the Local Church. How to Serve in the Local Church. One of the greatest joy in your relationship with Jesus is the opportunity to serve. One of the greatest joy in your relationship with Jesus Christ is your opportunity to serve. That's one of the greatest joy a believer can ever have. And we have only one basis for service in the kingdom of God. Just one. That basis of service is going to be taken from Galatians chapter 3, or rather Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. So if you can find the multimedia wherever it is, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, for you, brethren, let's read it together, one, two, go. All right. But through love, serve one another. So let's repeat that part, but through love, one, two, go. But through love, serve one another. So the Bible here says that we have been called to liberty. Can we see the NIV version? Let's see the NIV version. Because when you talk about liberty, you are talking about salvation. That's what liberty means. That you are being born again. That you are being born again. So it says, you, my brothers and sisters, you were called to be free. So let's say that together. I am called to be free. So the Bible now goes on to say, but do not use your freedom to indulge, what? The flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So the Bible says that we are to serve. So the basis for service is the cross. I want you to write that down. And you put the scripture beside what I just said. The basis for service is the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, which speaks of God's love to you through the dying of Jesus on that cross, is the basis for your service. The greatest motivation that anyone can ever have is to receive God's love, which is demonstrated by the work of Christ on the cross, and from there you serve. So you receive to serve. There is no amount of service that can save you. So if you want to twist it the opposite way or the other way around, there is no amount of service that can save you. No matter how you serve, if you don't put faith in Christ, you can never be saved. So it is because you are saved, that's why you serve. So I'm saved to serve. I hope we understand it. We are saved to what? To serve. And it is also important to know that it is the service of someone that made you saved. It is the service of Jesus Christ that made you saved. So service through somebody else got you saved, but your own service can't save you. But it is the service of someone who got you saved that makes you serve. So you serve because you are saved by the service of somebody else. So if you think about redemption, if you think about the work of Christ, if you think about the work of the believer, you cannot take service away. If Jesus did not serve, nobody on planet Earth would have been saved. It's impossible. So we are saved. Let's say that again together. We are saved to serve. The next point. Service is a sign of Christian greatness. Write that down. Service is a sign of Christian greatness. Service is a sign of Christian greatness. Service is a sign of Christian greatness. In the world today, people who serve are regarded as probably the lowest in the scheme of employment. I mean, those who are servants, who are regarded as servants, let me rephrase it in that way. Those who are regarded as servants are most likely seen as those who are the least qualified within the scheme of employment. Those are the servants. Then the bosses are the ones who have many people at their beck and call, who have a lot of control, who have a lot of power, a lot of influence, a lot of money. Those are most likely the bosses or the leaders. But the servants are regarded, this is the society now, this is the world. But you see, when Jesus was talking about service, Jesus redefined service. He made us see service in a different way. And we understand service now as a sign of Christian greatness. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, we know that scripture very well. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in the form, let's read it together, one to go. Who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Next verse. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and becoming in the likeness of men. So I was discussing with the leader some time ago and I told them, don't let anybody make you a servant. Make yourself. If you look at what Jesus did here, the Bible says he made himself of what? No reputation, taking the form of what? A bond servant. So Jesus redefined service by taking the form of a bond servant. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. This is the story of the mother of the sons of Zebedee. She approached Jesus and see what she says to Jesus. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to her or came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. That's from Jesus now. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other where? On the left, in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said to her, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said to him, we are able. So he said to them, you will indeed drink of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Are you seeing the story now? And then verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Why are you trying to overtake us? That's the idea there. Next verse. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, that's the people of the world now, the society, lord it, what? Over them. And those who are, I haven't finished. And those who are great exercise authority over them. Is it wrong to exercise authority? There's nothing wrong with exercising authority. But Jesus is trying to explain the principle of service. All right, next verse, verse 26. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be what? Your servant. The greatest person is the one who serves. So that is how service is defined in the kingdom. Service is defined as the one who serves. Greatness is defined, rather, as the one who serves. People want to be great but don't want to serve. There is no greatness without service. Then verse 27, let's see what it says. It goes on. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Next verse. Use the NLT version. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served. Use the NLT version from verse 26. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. So in the kingdom, the kind of leadership we do is servant leadership. The next verse, what does it say? And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. Then verse 28. For even the Son of Man came not to what? Be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So God has called you to serve. Your salvation is not meant to be for your selfishness. Your salvation is not, back to that Galatians chapter 5 verse 13. You have been called to liberty, but don't use that liberty for the lust of the flesh. Don't use your salvation for selfishness. Your salvation is meant to be for others. You were saved so you can serve others. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So service is a sign of Christian greatness. Before Jesus came, there were commandments and there were instructions to serve God. You shall serve the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. But there were some people who rose in rebellion and said they would not serve God. This was before the coming of Jesus. Let me show you that in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13. There were people who said, we will not serve the living God. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Now let us see what is said against the Lord. You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So, you know, there are people today who don't see the need to serve. Like, as long as your life is fine, as long as you have money, as long as you have your job, you don't see the need to serve the house of God, to serve people, to serve the things of God. You are in the category of these people who have said it is useless to serve God. Now, if you believe it is not useless to serve God, but you don't serve, you are still with them. Because as far as I know, what you know is only judged by what you do. So you can't say, I know something when you do differently. You can't say, I know this is wrong. You think you have a mental accent, but you don't really know by revelation. When you get to know by revelation, it drives your actions. So your knowing will produce the action. Are you following what I'm saying? So people have said before Jesus came that it is useless to serve God. It is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? Next verse. So now we call the proud blessed. Let me tell you something. One of the things that stands in the way of service is pride. Pride, self-centeredness, or selfishness, lack of focus, stands in the way of service. When you serve and the people you serve confuses you to think that you are serving the people rather than serving God. Because if I serve Ore right now, I am not serving Ore. No matter what I've done to Ore is not just service to Ore. It is service to God. Are you following what I'm saying? So your service in the house of God is not directed to the people you are serving. You are serving those people, but yes, ultimately you are serving God. So now we call the proud blessed. For those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Next verse. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance. Now, this is the end time now, because I want to show you the eschatological implication of service. I want to show you how service is important even on the last day. All right? It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name. Next verse. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So, it is important to know that even when the book of remembrance is open, the demarcation between those who served and those who did not serve will be there. God wants you to serve. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't live your life foolishly and don't think that there are no future implications of your service today. Now let's see verse 18. Then you shall again discern between, somebody said, the righteous and the wicked. Between the righteous and the wicked, and then between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. So there will be a distinguishing between those who are born again. Okay? Let me test your Bible school understanding now. Those who are born again and those who are not. The righteous here symbolize those who are born again. The wicked symbolize those who are not born again. Then there is also a judgment between those who serve and those who do not serve. Now, what is the guarantee to becoming, what is the gateway to being righteous? Is it service? You know, we said initially that service cannot save you. So what saves you is faith in Christ. Okay? So faith in Christ already guarantees your entry in heaven. There's a demarcation between you and those who don't have faith in Christ. There is another demarcation further. For those who have faith in Christ, all of you who have faith in Christ, there is still demarcation inside all of you. And what is the demarcation? Between those who serve and what? And those who don't serve. So be not deceived. When you have been called to liberty and freedom, the Bible says, use not your liberty or your freedom for the occasion of the flesh. You know, when I quoted that scripture, a lot of you thought about fornication, right? Don't use your liberty for fornication. That's what a lot of people thought. Or don't use your liberty for adultery. Or don't use your liberty for sinning. Yes, let the blood of Jesus wash your corrupt minds right now. Is beyond that, because the occasion of the flesh or the corruptness of the flesh can be your lustings, your wants, your desires. It could also be your comfort. Comfort, how are you? It could also be your comfort. It could also be your, you know, I don't like anything to encroach into my space, flesh. I don't like anything that takes too much time from me that I really want to give, flesh. The Bible says that he who thinks of himself highly than he ought to is a problem. So in comparison with your brother, there is a way you must see your brother. You must not think of yourself as above your brother. So that in my serving you, I don't elevate myself as one who is serving you down. Oh, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Yes, so the attitude of service is not that I am better. No, the attitude of service is that my brother is deserving of my service. That's the attitude of service. So the flesh, my money, my time, I don't want anybody to know me. I'm shy, flesh. You see, that thing is flesh. I'm shy is flesh. Because timidity and pride, they are all in the same spectrum of self-centeredness. I'm too timid to serve God. Let me tell you something. When you serve, you are going to serve according to your shape. What is your shape? S-H-A-P-E. The S there is your spiritual gifts. You're going to use your spiritual gifts to serve. The H there, shape. The H there is, what is it now? Not title. The S is your spiritual gifts. The H, I'm trying to remember. The H, this is very old teaching. The H is what? Who? Who can help me? Who remembers? Purpose-driven life. There is no correlation between that and H. So the H there is for, with your heart, thank you. The H there is your heart. So you serve with the whole of your heart. Then the A there, you serve with the right attitude. You must have the right attitude in service. Then the P there is your personality. That's where I was actually going when I thought about shape. Because there are people who have different personalities, but every personality has a place in service. There is no personality that is lost in service. So you might be the introverted type. There is a place for you to serve. You might be the one who likes to serve from front. There is a place for you to serve. You might be the one who likes to serve from outside. There is a place for you to serve. But you are serving anyways. Then the E is your experience. So let's start it again. The S is your spiritual gift. H is your heart. A is the right attitude. P is what? Your personality. And E is experience. So all of the things that you have learned over time, you are bringing these things into the house of God to benefit God's people. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So God wants us to not be weary in service. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, write this one down. Service is a matter of stewardship. Service is a matter of stewardship. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. Service is a matter of stewardship. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. A steward is one who has been entrusted into the care, administration of the Father's work. That's a steward. A steward is a trustworthy person. That's a steward. So, you are a steward of the manifold grace of God. God has given you so much of grace, but let this grace not be in vain. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So, service is a matter of stewardship. Then write this one down, the gifts of service. I don't have the time to talk about the gifts of service, but under the gifts of service, right? Each believer has been given at least one gift to serve. Each believer has been given at least one gift to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. Each believer has been given at least one gift to serve. As each one has received a gift. I want us to read it together. One, two, go. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. So say with me, say, I have received a gift. Ask your neighbor, what is your gift? Please answer your neighbor. Answer, answer. I'm waiting. Answer. We don't have time. Answer, answer. Answer your neighbor. What is your gift? What is your gift? What is your gift? I hope you know, everybody has a unique gift. There are some people who are gifted with encouragement, right? To encourage is a gift. To smile is a gift. To pray is a gift. To give is a gift. So whatever it is that you do, it's a gift. To administrate is a gift. But when you bring all of that skill, that leadership, that ability to the house of God, you are bringing your gift as a steward. Who is a steward? Please, who can give me a quick definition of who a steward is? Who is a steward? Yes. That's basically a steward. A steward is a custodian. A steward is the one who was given something to take care of. That's a steward. So a steward, you who is a steward, is one who has received the gift of God. And God is saying the way you take care of that gift is to use that gift to take care of somebody else. Should I say that again? If you like, don't answer me, I will say it again. The way you take care of what God gave you is to use what God gave you to take care of someone else. That's how you take care of what God gave you. So to be a steward is to be one who has received a gift from the Lord and ministers it to somebody else. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Keep going. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. Keep going. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. These are ways you show gifts. Next verse. Is there anything in the next verse? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. It says, and there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Quickly, very quickly. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge, the same Spirit. Next verse. And to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit. Next verse. To another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Next verse. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Then if you read all the way down in this chapter 12, it says, it's just like the body. The body has different parts, but is one body. The leg cannot say, I am better than the eye. The eye cannot say, I'm better than the feet. The feet cannot say, I'm better than the hand. The kidney cannot say, I'm better than the hand. So I don't know what part you are in the body, but just know that we all belong to one body. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So if you are the feet, be the walking foot. Don't be the seeing foot. If you are the ear, be the hearing ear. Don't be the seeing ear. Don't covet another person's position. But God has called us to walk together in harmony. How do you serve? Finally, number one, you serve in love. That's how you serve. We serve in love. Number two, we serve with joy. Psalms 100 verse 2, we serve with joy. And number three, we serve in unity. And number three, we serve in unity. We serve in unity. And finally, the kinds of service, we have the speaking service and a dutiful service. So much later, next week, by the grace of God, we'll come back and finish up on this. I want to really take time to appreciate all the leaders, all the workers in 2023. First of all, happy new month to all of you. God bless you for your heart of service and for your labor of love.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.